Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Mr. Davis, and I'm joined by Mr. Corporate Chopper.
Hello. Hi. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. I think you watched Quizzlemania last night. Have you seen Mr. WrestleTalk guy?
No, actually. I mean, I've seen the picture of him and stuff. Like, he's in the thumbnail for Quizzlemania now. I might need to speak to you about that at some point because I just feel like there's a bit of a, I don't know, miscommunication or something.
Great
there.
Guy.
But
great guy. Yeah, yeah, right. What a find. What a find.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I've known him forever.
Yeah, funny that.
Brilliant.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more later.
He'll be on next week's podcasts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's going to be doing
Raw and AEW going forward from now on.
Instead of me.
Well, yeah, I thought you're a busy guy. You know, you've got to chop all those thumbnails and indoctrinate more people to the Authority.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's okay. Let's talk
awesome.
About let's get into it. Well, we're going to be talking about the debut of Miro, aka Rusev, or formerly known as Rusev from WWE. Here's the show.
Where the big news coming out of it is that Kip Sabian, who said on All Out that he's going to unveil his best man for his wedding to Penelope Ford on Wednesday's Dynamite, he came out, he brought out a few people, brought out like a sort of joke guy called Ruff, I think his name
Puff?
Was.
Huff? Puff?
Puff? Puff?
Something like that.
He came out, and then Brian Pillman Jr. came out, and Kip was like, whoa, I said no. I said, you're the best, comma, man. You're not the best, man. I don't like you. So that was funny. It was good comedy stuff. Kip Sabian's really good. But then he said, no, here's the best man. And who should walk out of the bloody babyface entrance? I think it was the babyface entrance. But Miro, yeah. Twitch's own Miro, also kind of known for his time in WWE. So weird. Storyline, the debut in a strange, I guess not a strange time because it's post All Out. This whole episode, this whole next couple of months is like the new season of AEW. Here's a few new characters. Here's a few new directions for people, new feuds, new storylines. And this is one of them. It's Rusev coming over to AEW in what seems to be a lower mid-card story.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange debut. But I really enjoyed seeing him for starters. Just he, like you mentioned in your edited review, he's got such an infectious personality, and him coming out, he was beaming from ear to ear. People started chanting Miro Day and he was like egging him on doing it. I was like, man, it's just really good to see you. Rusev was one of my favorite wrestlers in WWE. I loved him so much. I thought he was so underused. And I was always one of the guys being like, please push Rusev. He's really great. So seeing Miro now in AEW, I really hope he gets something good. The best man seems to be his name in AEW. He is the best man, Miro. That's not just like, he's not just Kip Sabian's best man, because like the best man was on like the Titantron and things like that, which I think is an okay wrestling nickname. That's okay. The best man, Miro. That's fine. Debuting him as an actual best man, though, to Kip Sabian, I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like it's not retreading of old ground, because I don't think they're going to do the Lana wedding again somehow. I think they were openly poking fun at that sort of angle. I don't think they're going to replicate those sort of mistakes. But I do wonder where it's going to be going with him doing that, because Kip Sabian, as much as I love him, he's not been presented all that well on Dynamite. And him being the best man to him feels a bit lower than he should be. And as someone who's been brought in to be like, F you, WWE, I'm now in the better wrestling company, I'm going to be treated properly and all that stuff. And for him to debut as this kind of mid to lower mid card act feels a bit of more samey position of where he was in WWE, which feels a bit off.
Yeah, I agree. I think overall, the big thing to take away, folks, and us, these are our feelings. I'm pretty sure I'm speaking for you as well, Chops, in that we're so happy that Rusev, Miro now, going to have to get used to that, is back into wrestling. He said just last month that he's retired. He's just going to focus on being a content creator on YouTube and Twitch now, which was, I kind of believed him, because he didn't show up at Slammiversary, he didn't show up at All Out in the Casino Battle Royale. Maybe he's quite content to just sit back and play his video games, because he seems to be very good at that and enjoying it a lot. And, you know, it's a new outlet for his creativity. So I'm really, really happy that Miro is in AEW. And as soon as he walked out there, like you said, you can't unlike the guy. It's crazy to think that he used to be this Bulgarian brute monster character. You know, before he started cracking the smile and doing all the little funny jokes, he was this kind of, not generic, because he did it really well, but a foreign heel. That was his role. But he's actually so much more than that. I'm not sure how the sort of bleached head, short hair cropped on top, the look that is. But it was so nice to see him. And it was like an instant connection. I'm into him as a babyface. But yeah, it is weird that they've debuted him in this way. My only thought is that it's going to be something that resolves itself quite quickly. You know, this is like Rusev's introductory story. He'll turn on Kip Sabian in a babyface manner a few weeks in, and then go on to something else. It's odd, because there were so many creative things you could do for when Miro eventually turns up somewhere. We were sort of fantasy booking last week that you'd hear the and you bring him in with Aiden English. I know that is retreading old stuff, but they were a hugely popular act. That there are, of all the things to retread from WWE, I would not be against that pairing. But yeah, this definitely felt more on the Matt Cardona scale of defections than the Brody Lee side, which got video packages, a months-long storyline, his own faction. This is essentially playing second fiddle to an undercard guy. But that might be the point. It might be a Diesel scenario or a Drew McIntyre scenario, to use a more up-to-date Dogs of War reference.
Yeah, and hopefully it doesn't take quite as long as Drew McIntyre with Dogs of War and all that stuff, because that was about 2 years being kind of second fiddle to someone else before he came out on top. So hopefully Miro can just kind of shed, not that Kip Sabian's bad by any means, but I do feel like him debuting in this way, he should be treated as a proper threat, a proper guy to go there, and not just like a comedy act, although I'm sure he would be great at comedy. I think he's probably going to be more inclined to be a bit more of a serious wrestler, especially because he came out and he cut quite a serious line towards WWE, saying, you can take that brass ring and you can shove it up your ass, as him just saying, screw you, I'm in a better wrestling company now. My name's Miro, I'm All Elite. So it seems like he's taking it seriously. He's not just there to mess around the whole time and be handsome. He's so handsome. Yes. But yeah, I'm quietly, hopefully optimistic. God, my brain. I'm quietly, quietly optimistic that this will just be a short time thing. He'll kind of shed the weight of Kip Sabian. That sounds really mean to Kip Sabian, and I don't mean it to be, but then he can go on to bigger and better things. Cause I think, yeah, this is quite a low to mid card story, and I don't want him to be hanging around there for too long.
But hey, trust in AEW at the same time. That there is definitely a reality where a Miro, Kip Sabian, Penelope Ford faction is amazing.
Totally. Yeah.
Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford are fantastic. Miro is fantastic. Maybe this is just like an odd couple group that we never knew we wanted. They're all talented, yeah, creative people. I'm sure they can get themselves over.
I mean, just like Aiden English and Rusev. That was a pairing that they just put together and just worked.
Whoa. I didn't even... my mind was so hung up on the wedding parallels with WWE. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually see the other parallel of Rusev Miro is now the Aiden English here to yeah, Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford's marriage.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Do you like wrestling? Do you like improv? Do you like role-playing games? And you'll love No Roles Barred, presented by the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. Six players come together to create a fictional wrestling promotion, roll dice, and create the kind of insanity that real companies can only dream of creating. Can Tony the Milkman survive the twilight of his career and still find time to care for his wrestling son? Can the Denimatrix overcome the vicious Apex and achieve total denimation? Can brothers Golden Joe and Silver Bro coexist as a tag team before they combust? Find out now with the wrestling show that everyone's talking about. No Roles Barred is available wherever you get your podcasts and only presented on the WrestleTalk Podcast Network.
Let's do some Patreon shout-outs before we get on with your super chats. Remember, get in all your super chats before the end of the show. We will read out each and every one of them. But for now, when I can eventually find them, let's do our AEW Dynamite shout-outs for pledge hammers of $25 a month or more.
Fluid.
Thank you. The Incredible Tarzo. Yes.
Woo! Thank you very much. Golden Nick Holden. Woo! Thank you very much.
Yes, sorry. You get me to tap the gold. Paul Bearer Maslin.
Woo! Thank you very much. The man who wears the gold, the man recognized by SWAF Nation International as the 24/7 champion, our legend. Woo!
Thank you. The old codger dodger Roger. The old codger dodgy Roger.
There we go. Whee! Thank you. Intense Frank Campos. Woo!
Thank you, Frank. The redneck Dennis Hicks.
Woo! Thank you very much. Michael Plowman, that's his name. That name again. Michael Plowman. Woo!
You're featured on the podcast today. I sing a song of his. The power couple, Stephen and Giovanna. Thank you so much, Stephen and Giovanna. Much.
Pick him up, Loot Sponge. Woo!
Yes. My Immortal is my favorite song, Mashy.
Woo! Thank you very much. And finally for today, .. Dylan Cachetta. Woo!
Thank you very much, everyone, for your continued support. We appreciate it so much. Let's see what you guys think, because I'm keen to get other people's takes on it, because obviously everyone's been very positive online. That's been the overwhelming thing, but I just want to get into if people actually thought this was a good debut instead of like, oh yeah, it's Rusev. Gorilla Press, good day corporate chopper, Mr. Davis. A quick note before you get into everything, Miro's debut was botched. A cheap shot for a cheap pop. He deserves better.
I've seen people say that. A lot of people have been like, all the WWE guys that are coming in, they all say the same thing. I'm so glad to be out of WWE, and WWE sucks, and now I'm in AEW. And yeah, I can see that. I'm hoping that Miro doesn't do that too much. I'm hoping that this is just like, right, I'm here, screw WWE, I'm AEW now, let's go AEW from here. And it's not like a continual thing. I feel like Brody Lee might have overstepped the mark with all of his Vince McMahon jabs that he did all the time, maybe. I don't know, but we'll see.
Mafia homages, I think he means.
Sorry, Mafia. Yes. I mean, he did admit last week that he was taking jabs at Vince McMahon. So,
how dare he, Mr. McMahon's a visionary. It's an interesting one because for us, we've now seen this narrative and shoot WWE promo play out multiple times. But for the wrestlers who've actually been there and endured that creatively stifling atmosphere for years and years and years, this is their out. This is like their one chance to vent that. So I do empathize with them wanting to say this. And, you know, 2010 Ollie is kicking 2020 Mr. Davis, who just lived for ex-WWE stars turning up on TNA and saying, WWE's crap. Alexis Ebden, best Wednesday debut, Mr. Wrestle Talk or Miro? Also, I really want to see Miro Sabian tag team Super Twitch Squad. Let's get into that now. We'll talk about it a bit after the rest of the Miro-related chat. Mr. Wrestle Talk made his debut on last night's Quizzlemania, only went and won the bloody thing. What a guy. And he'll be taking over Chopper Pete's stuff next week. So he'll be doing the AEW and Raw review with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's I'm sure he was great on Quizzlemania. Just a quick one, though, Mr. Davis. You do know that that's Luke, right?
Miro?
No. Mr. WrestleTalk is Luke.
I explicitly asked him on the stream because a few of the chats were saying, like one super chat said that, and he said it wasn't. And then I looked at his Twitter, and in the bio for Mr. WrestleTalk's Twitter, it says, 100% not Luke. So,
I mean, I'll trust your judgment on this one, Mr. Davis. But yeah, I'm withholding judgment for now.
You've got nothing to worry about, honestly. I don't know if you saw it last night, but even though I lost, I'm still reigning Quizzlemania tag team champion, of course. Even though I lost that one, I was like, I don't even mind, because this Mr. Wrestle Talk guy is so nice. He's so funny. He's so affable. He's so smart. He's so handsome. He looks like Repo Man, that I didn't mind. What I was more taken away from it was, have I got a new best friend? I feel like I've known him forever. I feel like we've gone through loads of stuff already. I just got that instant chemistry. Instant. Bacon Rasher says, hi, lads. What a debut, gimmick, and promo from Miro. Do you think he looks a bit like Rusev, who left that other company? Wink, wink. More than what people were saying about Mr. Wrestle Talk looking like Luke. See? Bacon Rasher knows. Hashtag AndisJTJ.
Yeah. He does look like Rusev. Yeah, shockingly. So.
But that's one so far for a good Miro debut.
Yes.
And one against. Let's keep count of these. Valid Mamadipudi. Who is Rusev? There is only Miro. That aside, this was a great episode to get that new viewer to watch AEW.
Very much felt like a reset after a big show. Kind of like, not on the same scale, but like a, you know, like a night after WrestleMania, night after SummerSlam kind of thing. Here's a couple new characters. Here's some new stories. Off you go.
What a night after WrestleMania should be. Because in practice, a night after WrestleMania are the same matches we got at WrestleMania.
You know what? You're not wrong. For the last few years, yes.
That's what wrestling should be, I think. Sawyer, I was hoping Miro would end the promo by super kicking Kip, but hopefully that happens at the wedding, coincidentally on Miro Day, because I want him to be a babyface.
It very much felt like a babyface debut, and Kip was also there. And, you know, connection with the fans, he was smiling a lot. So it wasn't like, oh, you people or anything like that. So hopefully he is a babyface. And yeah, I could see him ruining the wedding in a babyface manner. And then he's Miro from there on out.
Anthony Pride, I want to see Miro Allen versus Cage Starks match. Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, actually, that sounds really, really fun. Like, you're getting the beefcake off of Miro and Cage. Ooh, ooh, sounds spicy. Love that.
Paul Kerr, remember you didn't rate the Inner Circle originally, Ollie? I trust it. Miro looks in great shape. Woke the kids shouting no effing way at the TV.
Yeah, he's looked in great shape for quite a while now. For maybe like a year, he looks in great shape. So yeah.
I stand by that though. Like the Inner Circle's debut at the end of the first episode of Dynamite isn't great. You know, it's Jack Swagger joining a bunch of random people with Jericho. That went on to be something absolutely fantastic, and they made it really work. But it wasn't even AEW's own first choice. It was technically their third choice, because first of all, they wanted Gallows, Anderson, and AJ Styles jump in the barricade. Then it just went down to Gallows and Anderson, but they re-signed as well. So they went with Jack Swagger.
Yay.
Who has been really good. I love the Inner Circle. But, you know, just for that first episode of a new promotion. Speaking of Chris Jericho, that's how this episode began, in just a terrific cold open. And it was... so much of this episode was masterfully produced in a way to be that soft reset post pay-per-view show. And this was a huge part of it. And it has Chris Jericho and MJF coming up to Tony Schiavone. They both pull up in their cars and they go up to one another and they just talk back and forth about how, you know, they really respect each other. They're both going to go for the AEW world title. Just that they complained about losing to their respective Orange Cassidy and John Moxley. And then they both turn away from each other after respectfully bumping elbows. Really, really like seemed like a genuine interaction. They're walking off. The camera does a split screen like me and Chops are now. And they both mutter under their breath, what a loser.
It's really good. It fits both their characters so perfectly for them to play up other people, but secretly call them a loser because they think they're better. It's perfect. It was funny. It put over both their characters. It was like a bit of a soft reset from All Out. It was good. It was a perfect way to open the show.
I really like MJF versus Jericho does have context as well. There was a bit when Jericho offered MJF a t-shirt to join the Inner Circle when he first turned on Cody, but MJF said no. So a feud, a heel versus heel feud, or at least matchup, I never knew I wanted. Well done. The opening match had everyone already in the ring, so no entrances. Lucha Bros versus Jurassic Express. So we're going to start the show at 11.
This was really fun, wasn't it? Oh, boy. As I mentioned last week, when it was Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express, or sorry, All Out for Young Bucks, Jurassic Express, all four of these guys are so good. They're brilliant. They're really great sequences. The only thing that I wasn't a fan of was the Penta and Phoenix dissension that happened in the match. But the match itself was really, really fun. It just kind of got towards the end. There was a little bit of dissension between the two. Jungle Boy reversed Phoenix and threw him at Pentagon, who still hit a destroyer on him. Like, maybe you could stop, not hit the move on him, but hey-ho. Wrestling logic.
The momentum. The momentum's already from the there. Destroyer. You try doing it, Pete. You try getting in that ring and not hitting a Canadian destroyer on someone.
Jungle Boy rolls up Phoenix and gets the win. They start arguing between each other after the match, and Eddie Kingston has to come out and try and force them to stop arguing as part of the Death Pentagon that he's got. Which, again, Eddie Kingston, great promo. And like you mentioned in your review, I really hope this is just putting over how good of a leader Eddie is rather than any sort of long-term dissension between them, because they're all really good and they only just got together. So I think they should play out a bit more, have them be a strong unit and have them come together properly now.
Totally agree. Eddie's promo was masterful. Like, he's just getting over all of these little points. Huge storyline points that would sound like clunky exposition anywhere else. But he's like, your wife's not with you at the moment. Talking to Blade about Ali, who's, you know, weirdly doing another storyline where she's involved with QT Marshall. So that is a bit weird. But then he's like, Pac's over in England, so you've got nothing. And then at the end, he just like drops a little mic thing and says, oh, and I was never eliminated at the Casino Battle Royale. So I hope that plays into something.
That would be good, yeah. They seem to be putting a lot of responsibility with Eddie Kingston. He seems to be quite like an important figure on the roster right now. So I'm hoping that, yeah, they continue that story on.
After that, we got Jake the Snake and Lance Archer cutting a pretty decent promo on Jon Moxley. Really nice setting. It was raining. They captured that really, like, it was shot really beautifully. Like, if you just looked at the image, you'd be like, I want to see this 80s post-apocalyptic punk movie. And then later on, Moxie got his own promo in a corridor. Nothing like crazy notable, but just very, very solid promos from both guys who are heading to a collision on October 15th, I believe it is.
Something like that, yeah. Should be good.
So you'd assume Moxley Archer isn't the Full Gear title match. Because Full Gear is 9th of November.
That's right, yeah. Which is interesting. I don't know who they have in mind for the other shot or whether they're going to extend the Archer feud out. Historically speaking, from AEW, they probably won't. They probably just do the one and done title shots. But I don't know. I don't know who I'd like to see instead.
Pentagon. Matt Hardy obviously then came out and said, you know, I really like this. There wasn't an angle. There wasn't any interruptions. They didn't try to swerve it in the storyline. Matt Hardy came out and said, I was stupid. I put my family through something they shouldn't have had to go through. I made all the fans feel really uncomfortable. They didn't say it kind of ruined a lot of the resulting pay-per-view, but that was unsaid. This was Matt Hardy and AEW saying we got it wrong, and they didn't pro wrestling it. I really appreciated this. I really believed Matt. And Rebby Hardy was shown near the ring with Baby Max. No, Wolfgang now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Tony Khan, I am just avoiding her backstage.
Shit, yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, I thought this was a great apology. It's a great way they did it. And Matt Hardy said, you know, I'm glad that this thing with Sammy Guevara is done now. I'm sorry that the Broken Rules match wasn't what I wanted it to be, but I'm glad it's done, because if we'd have carried it on, someone would have got really seriously hurt, which is him basically saying, I'm glad we called the match and went straight to the finish. And at least they, you know, all the controversy aside from that match, I'm glad that they had a finish so they can say that this feud is done. So then they don't have to have another match later on to risk someone else getting injured again and things like that. So, yeah, hopefully both can just move on now.
Yeah, really, really well done. Also, Matt did say that he's going to go for the AEW title at one point.
I believe he said he's going to go for a AEW title at some point. He wants gold at some point, I believe.
Then we got Orange Cassidy pretty much squashing Angelico. I've forgotten it because I don't watch Dark that much. The Hybrid 2, Angelico and Jack Evans. Fantastic tag team. Angelico is an amazing high flyer. I forgot they're on the roster. This is just a credit to their, you know, the depth of talent they have there. But Orange Cassidy pretty much squashed him, and this wasn't the Cassidy of old. He still did a few, like, I'm just going to sit down rather than properly reverse a charge into the corner. But no, he was putting an effort from the get-go.
Yeah, it seems like Orange Cassidy now is a wrestler on the roster. He's a guy who can go out and have a very good match. Which, he is a very good wrestler. I'm not going to take that away from him. I feel like this kind of turn in his character, for me anyway, probably should have been done a little bit later down the line. It's been less than a year since he's been in AEW, really. So maybe it was a bit quick. I feel like they could have got more out of the I'm half-hearted gimmick before now he's kind of a wrestler. I feel like it'd be weird to go back to him being the half-assed kind of guy now. But he's still a great wrestler, so he should be putting on some great matches.
I think you can storyline him going back to not caring. I think a crisis of confidence, a few losses. Plus, his previous act doesn't really work when there aren't that many fans around. So I think it's a wise decision to do now. I don't feel like it's too early, personally. Plus, just it's very rare you see this sustained in wrestling, although you see it a lot in AEW, actually. And that is proper character development. Orange Cassidy had a feud with someone, a 2-3 month feud, and he has come out of that a changed wrestler. He wrestles in a different style. He puts in more effort. He's a new character. He has progressed. So I applaud that wholeheartedly. I thought that was great. Santana and Ortiz attacked him afterwards. Best friends ran down to stop that. And they're getting a street fight next week, which will be insane.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm quite excited for that one. I think it's going to be really good. And hopefully this will be a blow off to their mini feud that they've been having around Trent's mum. And then they can, again, both move on to bigger and better things because both of the teams are really good.
Bigger and better things like an interview with Louis Dangor on Wrestle 2. Santana and Ortiz are going to be talking to Louis in 2 weeks' time. Well, it's actually later today, I think, that they're having the interview. But we'll put it up soon. So go over to Wrestle 2 and subscribe to know when that goes live. Should be a really good chat because apparently Ortiz likes us. Ortiz watches us. After that, we got Alex Marvez knocking on the Young Bucks door backstage to get an explanation of what's happening with the Elite. Are they broken up? What's going on with Kenny Omega, Hangman Page? The Bucks open the door and super kick him. When that happened, I was like, oh my God, that's a big deal. A non-wrestling talent has been assaulted. If that's a referee, if that was Tony Schiavone, if that was Excalibur, huge deal. You know, they'll play that up for segments. They'll fines will be had. Loads of referees will be separating. That the babyface roster will come to Marvez's aid. Instead of that, it just cuts to the commentary team and they go, wow, Bucks aren't happy, are they?
That's the one thing I really don't like about this Elite story is that it feels like all the really big moments from it, the commentary don't care about, which are still amazingly done, amazingly shot, amazingly framed. The performances are fantastic. It just feels like the commentary are just like, wow. It's like at All Out, the moment when Paige drops down to the floor and Omega doesn't catch him and steps backwards from him. That's a huge moment. That's the moment where Omega like turned on him. The commentary are like, man, I think he almost didn't catch him there. It's like, come on, guys, put it over a bit more. But that said, love this, because the Bucks didn't say a word. Super kicked him and then just looked quite angry and then slammed the door. I'm very curious to see where that's going. I'm excited for this because it's still going.
It was later confirmed that they're going to be fined $5,000 each. And no one really cared about that either. I just thought that's a big angle to potentially give a lot of heat to people.
And we got the announcement that they're going to be fined $5,000 during the women's match, of course. Because when else would you do it?
Yeah, you want to wait till nothing's going on, don't you? Yeah. Then we got the Kip Sabian Miro reveal, a great backstage interview that had happened earlier, a pre-tape with Tony Schiavone and Hangman Page. Hangman Page just looks dejected. He's blaming himself for all of this. Just an incredibly well-portrayed character and his plight when, you know, he's just so self-destructive. And now he's properly self-destructed in that he's driven away all his friends, be it whether that's his fault or not. The only thing he's got left to destruct now is himself. So he's going to start blaming himself. Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
I didn't think that Adam Page was an amazing promo. I thought that his character work, his facial expressions and the way he moved around the ring and stuff and told a story through physicality was amazing. I didn't think his promo was amazing until this week. And I was like, my God, that's an amazing promo. Like, just, it felt so natural, his performance. And him just saying, like, look, I know we're all flesh and blood and all that stuff deep down, but the way I see it, I'm just full poison. I was like,
oh
my God.
That poison line was incredible.
Yeah, so, so good. Yeah. And he just said it so naturally, because that sounds, when I say it, it sounds really corny. It sounds like a WWE scripted promo, but it just came out so naturally. And him saying that he wants to reconcile with Kenny, he's like, it's all my fault, but, you know, I'm just holding out hope that, you know, me and Kenny can get back together. I'm just like, oh, I just want to cuddle you. Like, oh, such a great promo.
It was brilliant. After that, we got Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss taking on Chris Jericho and Jake Hager. This is after the Jericho-Janela match that happened previously. Just another expert way of how AEW are soft resetting everything right now, but still tying up loose ends from the previous week. Just really well done. And it was a no DQ match. Got chairs, got tables, fire extinguishers, fun stuff. Sonny Kiss is really good when he's booked in the right spots. Jericho and Hager win. And they cut a promo saying they're attacked, like they're going to go for the tag division.
Yeah. I mean, if you're losing Hangman and Page, replacing it with Jericho and Hager is a good idea. I feel conflicted because I think putting in Jericho and Hager is a great idea. It keeps Jericho important, keeps him going for some titles without feeling a bit like stale, because he's had a long feud with Orange Cassidy now that, as they kept putting over, was 14 weeks of them going back and forth. So it feels like he should do something related to a title now, at least, which makes a lot of sense. But I do wish, though, now that they've gotten rid of Omega and Page as a tag team, it feels like from the amount of people that they've got in their tag division, maybe bringing up someone else like a Jurassic Express, Butcher and Blade, like Best Friends, P&P, like so many tag teams that could potentially get a bigger spotlight. But now I feel like that spotlight's going to go to Jericho and Hager instead, which I feel so conflicted about it because it's a good idea. But also there's other teams that should also have that spotlight at the same time. I don't know. I feel conflicted about it. But as you mentioned before, just real quick, Sonny Kiss is amazing. I thought they were so good in this match.
I agree. I think it's a good idea. Really nice switch up of, you're not in the singles division at the moment. So it makes tag team wrestling feel important. But it's now created a landscape where everyone's a heel. I call it NXT. And you've got FTR, Young Bucks, Jericho and Hager now. All those top teams, Santana and Ortiz, like Butcher, I feel all the Butcher and Blade, all the top contenders are bad guys. Dark Order. So I don't know how that dynamic's going to play, but hey, AEW usually do this stuff right. So I'm sure they've got enough. I'm sure they're aware of that. And they'll juggle some bits around. MJF fired his campaign team because they lost. He went ballistic at the lady he always tells to smile. You know, what a cruel end to that by saying, you know, you're stop smiling, your teeth are all rotten and coffee stained. And then Wardlow sort of stood up to him because MJF blamed him for his loss. And MJF was like, you're on my side. Let's refocus on making me win more. But yeah, we get these glimpses of Wardlow dissension occasionally. And this was the biggest one yet.
Yeah, I thought this was another brilliant promo from MGF. I mean, it's not a hot take to say that MGF's an amazing promo, but just the way he portrayed himself, it really felt like a movie boss, in that he always felt in control. And even when Wardlow was standing up to him, kind of getting in his face, and he's obviously much taller than MJF, MJF was just like laughing and just being like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that we weren't on the same page here. Do we have a problem? Like, he's always like maintaining that he's in control the whole time. It was such a good way to portray his character. And just him just saying like, oh yeah, from what I remember, sorry, I'm just going to refresh your memory here. Tony Khan doesn't sign your checks. I do. So I'm going to ask once again, do we have a problem? And he was like, no. I was like, oh, you're so good, MJF. Oh, love it.
Yeah, it was great. We got the Moxley promo that I talked about earlier. Nothing to really note there. We got the FTR title ceremony. You know, yay, we're the tag team champions now. Tully Blanchard started to cut a really good promo, and then FTR took that mantle and sort of started putting over the rest of the mid to undercard tag teams that were surrounding the ring to see their champions be properly honored. And that, you know, they put them over. SCU, for instance, I used to love watching you when I was 15, you know. Imagine if we could have gone at it in your prime, you know, little negs like that. But ultimately I found this a little bit goofy. For a tag division that's been so seriously presented, this was in danger of veering the wrong side of sports entertainment for me. Jurassic Express eventually get in, sort of have a scuffle, and tip a bucket of ice water over FTR. And then all the baby faces eat cake in the ring.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Kind of, I agree with that. I was like, this promo is really good. FTR are presented as, we're really good wrestlers. That's what we do. We like wrestling. And then they come out and they get ice water thrown over them by the goofy tag team. And I'm like, but even the goofy tag team haven't been presented as goofy because their wrestling is really legit. Like, they're really good wrestlers. That's their thing. But this just didn't, the tone didn't feel right. And I feel like that might sound like a nitpick because we could get a very important and really good feud out of this from FTR and Jurassic Express. But that the way you set off a feud, the tone needs to be right. And this didn't feel right. It felt a little bit off. So I'm excited for the feud. I think we're going to get some great matches out of it, but it just feels like there was something a little bit off about it.
Yeah. Then we got Ricky Starks came out to do an emo parody of Darby Allin. Very, very funny. Excuse me. So they'll have a feud when Allin's back from his injury, although I thought he wasn't injured, so maybe that's just the kayfabe thing. Tainara Conti is officially signed to AEW. Mm-hmm. Her first outing was essentially to get squashed by Nyla Rose.
Yep. I mean, the good thing about Ty Conti is that she's 25, so she's got hella time to hopefully be better. When did Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero get together as an act?
Oh, this was about a month and a half ago, but you know, it's one of those things that's just been, they haven't done anything since.
That was going to be my next point, is that they joined together a month and a half ago and they haven't been seen since. This is the first televised outing of Vicky Guerrero and Nyla Rose, which is just, I don't get it. Why'd you put them together if you're not going to be on TV? Yeah, and I mean, it was a fun match. Nyla Rose is still really good. Ty Conti is a great seller. It's a fine match. It was good. But it was during this that we got like breaking news. Cody's got an announcement at the end of the show. Oh, and also the Young Bucks have been fined $5,000. And it's like, why are you talking about that? They're literally gearing up to their finish. They're doing their finishing spots now. Why are you talking about other things? Talk about the match. I don't know. Again, sounds like a nitpick, but it's actually really important for how you portray your women's division.
Well, it sends the message that they're not important.
Exactly.
Which is such a shame. I've seen a few people just say there that Tainara Conti wasn't squashed. I guess, yeah, she wasn't like ran over to the extent of a normal squash match. But I said Angelico essentially got squashed by Orange Cassidy earlier. I would say the same offense balance was in place here. And I just, yeah, why would you sign someone to have them beaten so quickly to Nyla Rose? And what was going on with Conti and the Dark Order? Why didn't they help?
Can't tell. Look,
Shida then runs out to save Conti from a further beatdown. And, you know, there's the hint of a feud there that might mean something. They had a great match back at Double or Nothing. And Thunder Rosa is going to return as well. These are all good signs. But I've seen loads of good signs from AEW. You'll forgive me if I'm not going to start getting excited for a renewed push of the women's division, because I've been here so many times before and they haven't walked the walk from the inception of this company, unfortunately. So hopefully, yes.
Yes.
We got the Kenny Omega interview, which was the flip side of the Hangman Page one, and he sat down with JR and didn't cut. I thought he was going to cut like a full-on cartoonish, hyper-stylized, cleaner promo going off the back of the finish of All Out. But no, he sat there and was quite realistic, down to earth, said how he's focused on the tag division, given a year of his career to the tag division. Now he wants to focus on singles stuff.
Yeah, and again, really interesting. And this felt very much like the Hangman promo, felt very normal. Like he was just talking, just kind of getting out his thoughts. And it's such a nice parallel to hear Hangman just say, man, I really blame myself. Really hope I can get back with Kenny, you know, holding out hope that we can be his tag team. And then Kenny just goes, I've done way too much for the tag division. I'm going to go and single stuff. It's just like, oh, it makes you feel for Hangman so much more because he knows he's done wrong and he's just trying to make amends. But Kenny's just having none of it, which but he doesn't feel like, even though he's more of a heelish character, he didn't feel like a heel here. It wasn't him just being a dick for no reason. It was him just saying, look, I've put over a year into the tag division and this is what I've got now, that I'm going back to single stuff. I'm sorry, I put too much into it. I'm done. And it felt very genuine and legit. You can see his point of view.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the next stage in that story. So I'm just going to bring up Cameron Christie's comment here. It said in Tainara Conti's title card that she was lulling over her decision to join the Dark Order.
Let's see.
Which is all well and good, but the end of the last episode, she was hugging Anna Jay, ecstatic that she was given a contract.
Yeah.
I don't think that's crazy for me to say that. Man. Looks like she signed with them. And the main event was Dustin versus Mr. Brody Lee, which was a bloody good match.
Yeah, surprisingly good, right? I mean,
not surprisingly, but yeah, it still shocks me that Dustin is so good.
That was the shocking bit, was the offense that Dustin was putting in, Destroyers, Sentons, Hurricane Rana, stuff like that. He's really good. And yeah, it was a really good match. Again, this feels like a nitpick. I feel like Dustin got in too much offense on Brody, from how much that Brody dominated Cody. And Cody, who is put over pretty much a lot stronger than Dustin, it feels like there was a lot of stuff where Dustin was hitting a lot of offense with almost no resistance from Brody. Like he was hitting a lot of moves back to back to back to back to back. And like Brody, like he was able to hit a crossroads quite comfortably onto Brody. And I feel like it would have worked better. Dustin could still have the same amount of offense, but it could have been interjected with more Brody comebacks in there to make him feel stronger. It felt like he was a bit, it felt like Dustin got more offense than Brody, which isn't, I don't think the dynamic there was quite right for me personally. It was still a very fun match, but.
Yeah, really fun match, but overall in the story they're telling.
Yes.
It kind of takes a bit of the steam out of the Cody stuff, because the way Brody steamrolled through Cody, you kind of want to just have very similar to the Lance Archer story. When Lance steamed through Dustin in the TNT title tournament to get to the finals with Cody. You know, that's an engaging underdog story. But seeing Dustin like get the upper hand so much unassisted, I think it's not a big deal. It's just nitpicking. I think there's a better story there, because John Silver gets up at one point to interfere. Doesn't work out for him. But that could be having the Dark Order interfering on Brody's behalf, but that backfiring on Brody. That would be a better way to further all the stories they're trying to tell and to give Dustin some offense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just felt like the balance was a little bit off, but like I said, great match still, very entertaining. Brody still won, which is obviously the right choice. And he bullied Colt Cabana after the bell, after Colt came down and was trying to celebrate with him. You know, he was leading the charge, come out applauding him and stuff. He gets in the ring and Brody immediately just shoves him aside to be like, no, because he's still annoyed about what happened at All Out. And again, Evil Uno's the one who kind of walks Colt away and be like, it's okay, don't worry. Yeah, really fun stuff.
Just that way to break someone down, to build them back up again in your own brainwashed cultish image. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the big announcement, Pete, that they've been teasing for about half an hour by this point was made. Cody is going to be the host or a co-host or whatever of the Go Big Show.
I don't care. I'm sorry, I don't care. Like, to have stuff that's been announced, like I mentioned earlier, during your women's match and to hype it up constantly through the show, it's going to be a big deal for your show that you're portraying. And it wasn't. It was just them saying that Cody's now going to be more mainstream, which, massive props to Cody. He's doing really well for himself and being able to get on like a proper mainstream TNT show. That's amazing for him. It's great promotion for AEW. That's great. I have no issue with him doing the show that he's going to do. I have every issue with that being the main event announcement of the show. That doesn't make sense to me. Promote the show that you're doing, not other stuff.
We criticize WWE all the time for this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And AEW did it. I have to think that it's not, like, if it was up to them, they wouldn't have done this. But sometimes you've got a bigger master to serve than your own audience enjoying the wrestling. And that is the network that pays you all the money and extends your deals.
Yes.
So I didn't like it. Cynically, I can see why they made the trade-off. But yeah, it was annoying. And they can't be very wary of shilling. Believe me, I have fallen the wrong side of shilling too much.
You
remember the community posts, people.
Oh yeah, that we do. I mean, I would have no issue if they had exactly the same announcement anywhere else in the show. Just not the closing angle. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me to put it there. But
yeah, just have a little mini interview with Cody, maybe saying like, I'm really excited about this. I'm still heating up, to be honest. I've got to take work like this because I don't know. I don't know how you can work it. Maybe they wouldn't want to do it. Anyway, that was the whole show. Overall, I thought it was really, really good. It's so nice to see them. What I like about this show is it makes me so optimistic about the future direction. I'm excited. So I gave it 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I probably agree with that. I feel like a lot of the segments on this show, the promos I thought were really good. Especially the Elite stuff, the MJF, Mox promos were all really, really good. A lot of the matches, they were really fun to watch. They just have one little gripe that I'd have with each match that would be like, oh, I didn't quite like this finish, or I didn't like, oh, I thought Dustin got a bit too much offense. But overall, it was really fun to watch, and it was a great soft reset from All Out. You can't really say, can't complain too much on top of that. So yeah, 4 out of 5 for me as well.
Get on with all your super chats. Nate drops surname, he is Miro. Very excited to have him in AEW, the next TNT champion. How great would him versus Brody be? Chopper, how happy are you to see Smooth Adam?
Ooh, I talk about me and Smooth Adam on the podcast version of this. Short answer, very happy. Miro versus Brody would be great. I'd be well into that.
And Andre Banks, I'm happy Miro is in AEW, but not excited about him in AEW yet. That's a very good way of describing it. The best man stuff could have worked for me if it was built up a couple of weeks.
That's fair.
Yeah. Charlie Davis. Kenny had these weird thousand-yard stares before and kind of during his interview. I'm convinced something darker is still there. I definitely agree. Yeah, heel turn is on the horizon in full-fledged cleaner mode. Like, if this is him teasing, if this is him in subtle heel mode, think about the full version.
Yeah.
Gorilla Press. Dustin continues to give us great in-ring work. I've never doubted Dustin. Since his debut as Goldust, he's been amongst the top of my big man technical wrestling list.
For sure, yeah. And it's easy to forget how bloody big he is. He's massive. Mm.
Yeah, same size, really. Same height as Brody. Charlie Davis again. I love the show. I love the slow burn Kenny and Hangman story even more after last night. Heartbreaking that Adam thinks he and Kenny can get back together, but Kenny is done. It's a very real breakup dynamic.
Absolutely. Yeah. So good.
Rich McCann. A great sign of a roster is one you see Jungle Boy and you say, man, he's my favorite. Then you see Jericho. Nope, he is. Then Brody. No, I love him. There's so much character depth there. Rich McCann again. With the Bucks being heel, who are the top card faces? Mox, Page. I don't know who else.
Jurassic Express. Orange Cassidy. Jungle Boy.
Orange Cassidy is a big, you know, he's pushed as the Darby Allin. Name. Darby Allin. Yeah. You know. El Fermentado. Is Jericho aware that Santana and Ortiz are in the tag team ratings? Are the inner circle breaking up eventually? Also, I'm so happy for Miro. Jam that jam.
I am as well, yes. Maybe we'll get a Santana and Ortiz versus Jericho and Hager match at some point.
It's such a shame because I love Santana and Ortiz. Their work as LAX was phenomenal. And this, to me, signals that they're not going to get back in that mix.
Yeah.
Black Adam. Finally, a Canadian destroyer ended a match. I screamed. Also, Dustin needs to stop using them. He just does as a transition move after a jab. Stop.
I brought this up before. It's just a move. At this point, it's just a move, which I don't like. But
people used to say the same about the DDT. The
I know. I'm being an old man. I'm aware of that, but I will take pride in being an old man.
Corporate cornet over there. Christopher Jazzcat. Forget Vince for a sec. Mr. Brody's character makes total sense without viewing it through that lens. That's the litmus test for such angles for me. I totally agree. If it was just a Vince parody, wouldn't work. But Brody's created a three-dimensional, living, breathing person there. Separate to Vince. So, yeah, definitely. Sawyer. Kenny versus Moxley at Full Gear. Exactly 1 year after Omega Moxley won. Fuel for a title change story.
Genuinely, after we spoke about earlier, just saying like, oh, I don't know who he's going to face if he's not facing Archer at Full Gear. I saw that super chat come in and I was like, God, that's a good idea. I really want Kenny to turn full cleaner heel. First proper match afterwards is against Moxley for the AEW title and he wins. I think that would be amazing.
So much history there as well.
Exactly.
Double or Nothing debut. Mm-hmm. Mate drop surname. They can tell the story of, unlike Kenny Page, Jericho Hager can't hang in the tag division, put over other teams, in a circle breakup begins.
I think I like all of that bar the last sentence. I think having the story of Jericho Hager not hanging in the tag division is a great story to tell. I think that's really good. You don't have to have the inner circle breaking up from it, but that story in and of itself is really good.
Or maybe Jericho needs Sammy.
Yeah.
That's always seemed to me to be the more father-son team there, the closest two of the inner circle, apart from Santana and Ortiz, of course. Gorilla Press, Tainara Conte surprisingly got some good offense in. A decent first outing. He has risen. Today is the day. Speaking of this gimmick that keeps... I don't know what's going on. Gorilla Press again.
Not a clue.
Dynamite was better than All Out. Soft reset. Great soft reset, Tony. He's such a natural at delivering fantastic content.
Yeah, it was a very good show.
I preferred All Out more. I thought All Out was really good, beside the Matt Hardy stuff. Jose Vasquez. Hey, guys, who do you think is going to be in the first triple threat for the AEW title, or should be?
That's a hard question. I'd love it if... This is total fantasy booking now off the top of my head. If we did get to a point where it was Kenny and Moxley, and then you had Kenny and Hangman and Mox in a triple threat, I think that'd be really fun.
See, off of this episode, Moxley, Jericho, and MJF.
Yeah, that would also be very good.
The Zornice, AEW commentary, always talks a lot during matches. Not everybody should win their first match. Boring. Tainara showed guts and craft. I like the show. I'm glad you got something out of the debut Zornice. Unfortunately, I just thought it seemed like it's someone who got beaten. She just got signed. Yeah, I didn't see anything in it, unfortunately. Sawyer, you understate how commentary sold the Bucks superkick. They were clearly shocked and confused, and Excalibur talked up how he's seen them go to this dark place before and what a dark omen that could be.
Yeah, they did say that. They didn't sound very shocked, though. I think they were just like, whoa, they're going to that dark place. All right, here's the next match. And it was like they should have played it up more, being like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, you know.
Where's the concern for Marvez?
Yeah. It was them.
Anyone worried about him?
If they'd have done that to another wrestler, I can understand that reaction of them just being like, oh man, that seems a bit harsh, you know, Butt's going to that dark place. But they just super kicked a random dude. Like, play it up, man. I don't know.
Black Adam, I'm with Chopper. A goddamn flipping pile driver should be a finish. Even Petey Williams apologized for making it because it's so common now.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good move. I love the move. Great just move. Stop using it as a random move that's a transitional thing.
Hot tag to you.
Yep, there's some AEW related super chats now. Nothing worse than dry chicken, says AEW brilliant. Not at the constant jibes about WWE. We watch AEW to switch into something different, so I don't need to be reminded about another show.
Yeah, I agree. It's gone on a bit stale by this point, yeah.
Totally. Especially when we've seen other people show up and do the same thing on Impact as well. It just feels like a lot of other people doing the same thing similarly right now. But
I think the Shoot podcast has killed this kind of promo.
You're not wrong.
It will never be as good as a 3-hour sit down of all the stuff.
Yeah, I blame Moxley for that then. it's all his fault. Him and Punk ruined it. Christopher Jazzcat says New Japan is better than AEW, which you'd know if you actually covered it. Ooh, the shade. But Hangman Kenny, the Bucks FTR, is still the best story in wrestling.
Well, you're in for a treat, Jazz Cat, because the plan is to do some live streaming on Wrestle 2 of the G1 Climax Tournament. I think just exclusively Block A, because that is insane.
It's genuinely absurd how much talent is in Block A. It's crazy. Wrestle Talk related super chats now. Gorilla Press again says, as for you, Oliver, today you will be addressed by B is himself. Don't be afraid. Be intrigued. He is risen.
Still don't know very confused.
Don't no know idea. Happening. Joshua Law, Mr. Wrestle Talk is awesome. Can I get a yes, please?
I don't see why not. Yes, please, Mr. Wrestle Talk. Seems like a great guy.
Okay. Michael Dominguez says, if Chopper's storyline is only a 3-week push, I'm LMAO.
What's a storyline?
I don't know what you mean about storyline there. And I haven't got a 3-week push because I'm Mr. Davis's best friend. So, words from Will says, doesn't Vacant own the Quizzlemania tag title since you fired Luke? Also, hashtag, I want the sexy jacket back.
This jacket's personally perfectly fine. And no, yeah, Luke's fired, which means I am the Quizzlemania tag team champions.
That's exactly how that works. Dale D said, Mr. Davis, you might want to give Mr. WrestleTalk a firing-proof contract so no one can legally fire him. You never know when someone like SRS might hack your system and get your new BFF fired. Wait, new BFF?
Yes. Well, I think so. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but at the end of the stream, before I left, we were just talking. I said, are we best friends? I feel like we're best friends right now. And he said, I don't see why not. So, yeah, I guess I am best friends with him.
Neil A said, will Luke be showing up on WrestleTalk Underground?
No. He's good. Fired.
Mark Egan said, Mr. WrestleTalk clarified to us yesterday that he's not Luke Owen. There's nothing to worry about, Chopper. Looking forward to his WrestleTalk debut.
Yeah, so that'll be Raw, next week's Raw podcast. Mr. WrestleTalk and Mr. Davis, best friends.
Mm-hmm. The Age of Me said, I'm glad WrestleTalk has gone professional. Me too. Yeah,
looks smarter, doesn't it? Looks smarter. Authority. Especially when you can't see the shorts. The jogging shorts I'm wearing.
Yeah. Same. Gorilla Press again said the depths have opened. Hashtag press that press. Still have no idea what's going on, man. And one last minute super chat said from KJ Trademark said, what's up? Love your content. Keep it up. Fire emoji, 100 emoji, fire emoji.
Because that's how we live our lives. We are, me and Pete, the fire emojis and the keeping it 100 emojis.
Funnily enough, I've actually got a few emails here because from the last podcast we did on Monday, speaking about Podswafters and whether they actually know about anything that's happening on YouTube and the Ollie Authority, etc. I've got an email here from Brad who says, following up on Corporate Chopper's request to hear from Podswafters, I primarily listen to the podcast and once in a while we'll watch an episode of the news on YouTube. I'll say the question about if the podcast and channel are the same continuity, I'd say yes. However, since we can't all be an Omni-Ollie, the requirement to watch Parts of Unknown in addition to WrestleTalk is more akin to being required to watch Up, Up, Down, Down to understand what's going on with SmackDown. Long live the Ollie Authority and the Omni-Ollie.
I didn't think of that. I didn't think of YouTube actually being split up into a few different parts. While I would argue that we do a good job recapping that stuff on the WrestleTalk news. You know, we're never like, oh, Dynamite is bad because it's showing recaps of Dark. We're saying Dynamite is missing a trick by not showing anything ever from Dark.
Yeah. Like on this week's episode, they just had a little graphic just being like, here are the people that won on Dark. It's like, well, maybe show us that. Like maybe show us a few clip or two of important people. I don't know. We got another one from Lewis here. Who says, I only listen to your podcast as I'm doing other things. Don't have much time to watch the YouTube stuff. I'm sorry. So I have no idea what's going on between Ollie and Luke, unfortunately. Great show and content, though, guys. Keep up the good work.
I'll sum it up for you, Lewis. He's dead to me. He's an asshole. And I've already replaced him with Mr. WrestleTalk, so... What a find.
Yep. And we've got one final one here from Dave. Who is saying, essentially, we've had a very common comment since we've debuted the Ollie Authority. A lot of people are saying, shouldn't it be the oligarchy? Because that's an actual word. And Dave has emailed in to say, oligarch, pronounced oligarch. Russian oligarchs are business oligarchs of the former Soviet republics who rapidly accumulated wealth during the era of the Russian privatization. Join the oligarch order, Ollie Uno, formerly Dave.
I too can read Wikipedia. I was aware of what an oligarchy is, because you read it in the news all the time. Russian oligarchs buying up lots of London real estate. But yes, Ollie Authority. It rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
I much prefer the Ollie Authority. Plus, you know, it's like the Authority, but with Ollie in it, so it's better.
I prefer the clunkiness. I agree oligarchy is by far the superior pun because it works seamlessly. But I don't like pretty things that work well. I like stuff that's sellotaped together and in danger of falling apart.
Yeah, that's why you like Mr. WrestleTalk so much, right? He's like, you know, sellotaped together.
Don't throw shade at that guy. I barely know him.
I'm just saying. You know, again, I'll need to speak to you at some point about that.
I won't rule out maybe, I don't know, 3 years down the line, we do a month-long special of what would happen if our rocket ships crash-landed in the Soviet Union and if we were all brought up as Soviets. And then we can do the oligarchy version of this.
That feels very specific. I feel like you've already thought about that before.
Well, it's Mark Miller's Red Sun when Superman's rocket crash lands in Soviet-era Russia. It's awesome. It's a great story.
And that would apply to WrestleTalk. How exactly?
I just like to talk about the things I like sometimes.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Speaking of talking about things that we like... Oh God, my brain, Jesus Christ. I was going to say something really profound then, and then my brain just went, nah, you're just going to forget everything you were going to say. God. How was...
That was a bit Tenacious D tribute style.
It was.
Could have been the greatest song in the world.
But it wasn't, was it? How was Quizzlemania today? Aside from Mr. Wrestle Talk, because obviously I haven't watched it. What else happened?
So obviously Adam shaved his head. We should probably promote the Quizzlemania podcast. If you are like Lewis and you can't, you know, watch, you find video content a bit trickier to watch if you're out and about and you're on runs and stuff and you just want that audio in your ears, then go and download the Quizzlemania podcast, because that is a long show. And yeah, it was, I came last. Did you hear how many points I got?
No.
I got around 36.
Oof. It's not a big number.
I have nearly come third with 36 before, when Denise Salcedo pipped me at the last minute to get like 37. So another week, very respectable score. Not this week, because I had 36 in fourth place. Chris Van Vliet had like 82 in third place. And then there was like, like 85 for Sean Ross Sapp, and then it was 90 for Mr. Wrestle Talk. What a win on his debut. But yeah.
Debut. Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, Smooth Adam happened.
Smooth Adam. How do you feel about that?
Oh, so great. Oh, just so good. Like, he came on the morning call this morning, shame in his eyes, and I reveled in it. It was the greatest. Nothing against Adam, lovely guy, but he was the one that kind of manipulated me into putting my eyebrows on the line. So, screw you, Adam.
Did you in advance agree that your eyebrows were on the line, or was that something he pounced on you in the punishment?
We agreed beforehand to put the eyebrows on the line, but it was a case of him messaging me and being like, you should put your eyebrows up. And I was like, no. And he goes, have you considered, though, putting your eyebrows up? And I said, no. And then he said, interesting. However, have you considered putting your eyebrows up? And I knew he wasn't going to drop it until I said yes. So I said yes.
This is an HR complaint. Send it to the old authority. I would have put a stop to this. It is weird how you had less hair to lose overall. You know, Adam got rid of hair on his head, hair on his beard, and his eyebrows. You just had two of those to worry about.
That's true. Yeah,
your transition was so much more stark and dramatic.
Yeah, I think it's probably because I have relatively thick-ish eyebrows and I have a pretty hefty beard. So it's like a much more drastic change than, obviously, Adam's hair. That's a big change, going from lots of hair to none at all on the top of his head. But his beard and his eyebrows, not to, you know, play it down or anything, just not quite as impressive as mine, are they? So
nothing to write home about those eyebrows. Yeah. I say it all the time. I say, yeah, sure, he's a great voiceover guy, but there's a reason for it. There's a reason he's not on camera. So his eyebrows are a joke.
I'm going to message him after this. Just tell him.
Do you think he'll get the bleach blonde locks back? Chance to renew himself.
It's going to be difficult, because obviously he had problems dyeing it in the first place because lockdown and such. So at what point does he have to dye it? Like, at what length does he go to dye it again? Because he can't do it, you know, immediately. I don't know.
Well, we saw Rusev, now Miro, on this show that we've just reviewed. That's a short bleach blonde look.
You know what? You're not wrong.
Stan.
Yeah. Don't Stan, though. Stan's a bad person. Don't Stan. That's,
what are you talking about? He just loves
the term Stan. I hate the term Stan. When people are like, oh, I Stan this thing. It's like, do you know where this term comes from? Have you listened to the song? No one wants to be Stan. He dies. Come on, guys. Sort it out.
So that's the bad thing, that he dies, not that he also kills his pregnant wife.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, you don't want to be Stan. No one likes Stan. That's why Shawn Michaels super kicked him.
I once at school, you know, buying a CD when that came out was a big deal. I bought Stan on CD, and it was the first single I bought. It was a relatively new thing where you could put it in your computer and it would play a video file. So it had the music video on the single CD. And that was such a big thing. Four of my friends came round to my house to watch it.
Mm.
All at the same time, we had a little viewing party.
That's amazing.
God, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Tell you what, though, brilliant music video for Stan. Oh, great video, mate. And a great song in general. Brilliant song. Love Eminem. Love a bit of old Eminem as well. He's great.
But you don't like Stan, do you?
No. I don't like the person Stan, and I hate people that call themselves Stans willingly. They're just like, oh yeah, I stan this thing. It's like, why would you willingly want to be a Stan? Come on,
it's postmodern. Guys. It's been robbed of all its initial dark meaning. It's like Grimm's fairy tales.
It angers me, Mr. Davis. It angers me. Anyway, that's probably all the time we've got for this episode.
Can I read an email?
Sure, yeah, if you've got one.
Mr. Davis is getting a lot of fan mail.
Okay.
And it's only right that I read out a few of them.
Okay.
Because they... Let me open them up. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. So from Michael Plowman, just a lovely email about support and what an asshole Luke Owen was for giving third place to someone who hadn't earned it. Also said, I'm extremely happy that Chopper Pete, nay, the Big Chop, saw the light and sided with the true winner. Maybe the Big Chop always knew it, and that's why he didn't take those false points. He was guided by your shining light, Mr. Davis. I can't wait until there's a proper merch in the shop showing my support for the Old Authority, so we may bask in your... And then... So he tries to do a pun on glory with Ollie in.
Glolly?
So he's put G Ollie and then just given up and written the word glory afterwards. But still, valiant effort. And then, to play us out, he's written me a poem that I think fits with a popular Queen track. So I'm going to sing it. You paid your dues time after time.
Yep.
You served your sentence but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, you've made a few. Debatable. You've had your share of sand kicked in your face, but you've come through. Because you go on and on and on. You are the champion, Mr. Davis. And you'll keep on fighting to keep it. Bum, bum, bum. You are the champion. You are the champion. No time for lukewarm, because you are the champion. A Wrestle Talk.
That was beautiful. The lyrics, the singing was all perfect.
Thank you, Michael Plowman. I think it's going to be better when you sing it to me eventually, because a lot of it is like it's second person, so it's speaking to someone. For me, it should be I am the champion if I'm singing it. Note for next time. You know, jump in next time, mate.
Okay, I'll bear that in mind. Cheers. But that's all the time we've got for this episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Stay tuned for more content, because yes, Mr. Wrestle Talk is going to be joining Mr. Davis as of next week for Raw and AEW. I'm thrilled about it. Thanks for listening, everyone. Jam that jam. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.